Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the Magical Talking Hat Carnival. We have rides and attractions and all freak show distractions. For 100 episodes, we've titillated the masses. So sit right down and we'll entertain your asses. Tonight, in delight alone, we have a treat. Guests that certainly can't be beat. The first hard hat, Mark, the producer, and Beth give a spark. What's in store for this show? Well, listen up, because here we go.
For real, I've literally hit the button, and it's happening.
Okay.
So,
ready to go.
If it's happening, where's the hat?
Later.
Okay.
We
have to be sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, you have to be sworn to secrecy and all that.
Mystery.
But we'll be around.
It's all about mystery.
So, this is it. So, hello, everyone. So glad you could be here with us. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world turning 100 today.
Today.
Yay!
Where's the confetti? There is confetti. Wow, look at all the confetti in the
balloons!
You have not gotten this audio worked out here.
Darn it.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 100.
And?
Oh.
This is the producer. Beth.
Mark, hard hat number one.
Yes!
See? And that's all we got. So we were going to have more, but Ice Storm Luna
also,
got in the way.
What?
Also, Tony told me I could not bring Ezzy.
No, so. I told her specifically she could not bring Ezzy.
Wait,
no.
Ice Storm what?
Luna.
What's that supposed to mean?
The Weather Channel is really desperate for attention.
And it named it.
And so it has begun naming winter storms like you do hurricanes. And it has set out its names beforehand, and it's been so stupid that the National Weather Service has actually had to issue a statement saying they are not going to use those names.
Are they using all Harry Potter characters?
No,
because we had...
Draco and Luna.
Yes.
And you should check out the list because it's horrible. They also had Gandalf, spelled G-O-L-F instead of D-A-L-F.
Yes, G-A-N-D-O-L-F.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Because
we have no idea.
They're worried that J.R.R. Tolkien's going to rise up and sue.
There's a few that are weird like that. So, yeah, you should check out the list just for your own laughs.
But so this was Ice Storm Luna.
Well, I don't know what I'm more excited about, the fact that this is our 100th episode or the fact that we've got Trish here, the producer's here, Beth's here, who I've just met. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
And Mark, who you and I have both known for a long time, but
yes,
I haven't seen
yes.
you in so long. It's so great to have all of you here.
You look about the same.
Yeah, you do look about the same.
A little more gray in the beard, but otherwise pretty much there. All right. So, yeah, this is episode 100, and we're all here, and we're all happy. We are sad, actually, because David and his wife... and Vermond and Azutalan presumably died on the way here.
Oh, come on. No.
I'm just going to assume that.
Why
for
do you
now.
Have to do that for?
They're dead on the
no,
road.
No,
ditch,
stop. So, no, they're not. They just. The weather is not very good.
In lieu of flowers, send donations to
stop it.
Me.
Stop.
And that'll be good. No, I told everybody to be safe first, and they were both coming from out of town. And so that's why that is. All right. So, yes.
But we're at the library, so it
we're
might sound
library.
Odd. Oh, we're in a different place.
You just remembered we were at the library?
No, I remembered my joke about that we're at the library.
Oh, what's your joke?
What's your joke?
Nobody can sleep. Did you not hear this? This is like the new thing. As of this week, there is no sleeping allowed in the library.
In this library.
Wow. In this library.
As
yeah,
of this
a,
week?
That's a new thing here.
You know, I had a joke. I had a joke set up, too. You know what I was going to do?
What were you going
to
do?
But a lot of people had to be here for it to work.
What?
Well, as soon as and introduced yourself, I was going to introduce myself, and I was going to say that, you know how you do your the only podcast?
Yes, yes, yes.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say it's the only podcast with homeless people. Then I was going to say, because you and I are here broadcasting at the library, and this library, like a lot of libraries, when it gets cold and awful outside, homeless people come in, and here you and I are at the library broadcasting for some reason with a bunch of homeless people. And then you were going to tell me, no, these aren't homeless people. These are our listeners. And I was going to say, Mark McKinnon, is that you? Dude, why are you homeless? And we would just go on and on like that.
Okay, back up. We have messed up the whole first start of this episode, apparently.
The whole first
Well, yeah, but there's not enough people, because I was also going to do something with Azure Talon. Like, Azure Talon, wow, the the healthcare system in this country is really brutal. You know, something like that.
Which isn't wrong.
No. But since it's just Beth and Mark here, I thought, well, it won't be as funny as I had planned.
I'm a little bit homeless now. My apartment for the next year has been already rented to someone, and I do not have anywhere to live yet.
Oh, crap. So this is time for David to pop the question, I think. This is a good time for it. It's always good for long-term partners to move in together because of financial requirements.
It's not a financial requirement, but
that's a good time for that.
I'm starting to house shop, but haven't done anything yet. The lease ends 5 months from now. So it will probably be fine, but at the moment
we have a really, really old lady who lives next door. So if you want, we could, like, you know, try and nudge
move
her
bad around. Idea. Look, Beth, after
she have a nice house?
It's good.
After the podcast is over, you know, look around the library.
Okay. But you can't sleep here.
There's a lot of comfortable, you can't sleep here, but there's a lot of comfortable places just to hang out.
Okay.
If you don't have anywhere else to go.
All right. And there's a lot of books, so, you know, you'll never be bored.
To do.
It's warm. Yeah. Sometimes someone leaves their breakfast sitting on a table. They don't clean up after themselves. And that's
food right there. Yeah.
Right. And there's a little slide in the children's section.
Yeah! That's true. Into the student section.
Back when the... I, William, and Tony all worked together here. The office would frequently have potlucks, and my wife loves to bake. And they nicknamed her Darth Delicious back in the States.
Which you may have heard about. Oh, you haven't listened to the most recent episode either.
I didn't. I missed the most recent episode.
This all
I haven't
got
listened
discussed
yet.
In episode 98.
Darth Delicious.
The most recent episode when this,
comes out. Yes, no, people. This is since then, but... In an episode. Yeah, wasn't 99 amazing, people?
Wasn't
that a great
one? What's my favorite yet?
Yes. But no, in 98, we actually discussed the entire Darth Delicious concept.
Origin story?
Yes.
Dark Lord of the Dish, we called her.
Yes.
She made these amazing desserts.
She wanted to make brownies, so enjoy your brownies.
Well, thank you.
They're a little squished, I guess, but they still taste good.
That'll be fine, right. You got to eat them with a spoon anyway.
That just proves that they're squishy. I like squishy brownies better than the
They were made fresh this morning.
Thank you.
I can smell them. Even I can smell them.
Did she come with you, by the way?
No, her original plan, because she doesn't actually listen to the hat, was going to be window shopping.
Oh,
and then
the weather's
Luna.
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 Oh, Luna.
Winter storm Luna. Okay, so that was good. So thanks for listening, everybody. have a good one. No. So, William.
Yes.
How was your week? By which I mean 3 days.
Well,
since we last recorded,
or is it his
by which you mean
future week?
Yeah,
how week that's coming up.
Okay, boy, we have to do this fairly often because hopefully my week involves finding out if what people are interested in doing the radio play that I've written and that I've sent you.
I already know some people.
Did you read it all?
No, I still haven't finished all of it. By 99, I may have. So a week ago, I may have.
Well, so it's all kind of contingent on, you know, a certain person finishing it and giving me some feedback.
Sergio?
That person being you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Because then what we'll do is, well, as I've already explained, we'll send it out to other people and see what they think. And, you know, Mark, if you were interested in still in helping with the project.
Didn't you want him to be the fish or something?
I think...
Just keep swimming.
I think as I'm writing it and reading it, I'm thinking Mark would be good for the fox.
I haven't got to the fox
well,
yet.
Well, see. I thought that you would want to be the frog. Have you not read the frog yet?
What are you trying to say? I'm in the middle of the frog.
Well, okay. So what do you think of the frog? Oh, it doesn't just jump at you? It doesn't just jump out at you and say, frog. No?
No.
Really?
Not so far.
I thought you'd really like the frog.
It's been several days since I've read, so maybe I've just forgotten.
Okay.
I do a lot of heroin, so.
Okay. Well, I as far as my week goes, it's probably all going to involve, hopefully, if you've finished it and you've talked to a few other people, I'll have some idea of what the cast is going to look like.
Sweet.
This is going to be a pretty involved project.
It really, really is.
And what I'm hoping will happen is once we're done with it, which will probably take most of the year.
If not longer.
Because I'm setting up a website and everything to promote this and everything. What I'm hoping, it will get enough attention that when I go to do that longer project, you know.
From the makers of.
Yeah. That maybe I can do a Kickstarter or something.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
But the shorter project first to kind of let people know that this is the kind of stuff.
Based on our marketing skills, I would say you have no hope of that
whatsoever. That's what I was thinking.
You know,
what about our store in Denver?
Yes, that is still technically open.
In the airport, yeah.
Yes, in the airport.
I don't know. Has that really been generating very many sales?
Not much. We've still got like a gross of Spaghetti Fallout, the remixes, just sitting in the back. And nobody's bought Ezzy still.
No.
$5. $3 at this
point. We're
going
to upgrade her, though, to a commemorative 100th episode edition.
Oh. A limited edition Ezzy.
Yeah, now if that helps.
Now with sharper claws and more attitude.
Yeah, in case anyone's wondering, 100 episodes later, I still am not invited to the business meetings.
No,
I don't know why that is.
No.
Really?
Whatever.
It's because you got engaged to Ezzy.
I came to the last one. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
Even Mark's there.
What?
He said he had your proxy for votes. We didn't even know what was going on.
Did you? No,
you told me I had his proxy.
Did you?
That's what. But yeah, okay, that too.
Did he get my $10?
No.
You got more than $10. Ah! I hate you guys. Oh well, $10.
You can always live in the library. Mark, how was
it's
your
a nice room? Library? New.
It was a bit long. Work's been getting really busy of late.
7 days.
They were very compact 7 days, and I was sick one of them.
Work?
So, yeah.
What's, I mean, do you have a work, I don't even know where you work right now.
Mercy Hospital.
Oh, okay. That's
I didn't know that either.
But that's not a thing where, so what's been going on there then? I mean.
Mercy is implementing a new electronic medical record system.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a report writer for the system, so.
So, and that's just something they just started doing?
They started it early last year, I believe. I don't know when exactly they started. I got hired last May, so.
Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Last May. Where were you before that?
A internet search firm in Cedar Rapids called Planet Discover.
And how long were you there?
5-6 years.
Okay.
I feel like we're like doing a job interview.
No, I'm just trying to remember. You know, we don't talk about this very often, and.
What would you say is your greatest strength in the workplace?
Oh, shut up. Is Mercy doing this because of federal regulations and stuff?
There's a lot of federal money from the Obamacare that's out there. And that's
and it's
I'm
really
sure
hard to buy those little small-sized chalkboards these days that they were using for the records before. So.
Well, that's kind of exciting then. But that's going to be a lot of work for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hospital records. It amazes me to find out. I mean, I worked in a hospital for a number of years, but I wasn't doing anything as fancy as you. I was just, you know, I was the...
they didn't have computers back then.
No, I was the disease control specialist, also janitor.
Did you transport the leeches?
No, I didn't have anything to do with the leeches. I was just there to make sure that whatever disease the person left in a room wasn't there when they put a new person into the room.
Okay.
All right.
See, so
that's a valuable
it's
service.
A very important job.
That's the nicest way of explaining janitorial service I've ever heard.
But I did notice that the records they kept in the Mercy Hospital here, that's where I worked, were all on paper. I mean, this was a long time ago I worked there, but still, I was kind of amazed.
Were you hoping they were storing them on stone tablets?
Well, I was glad they weren't on stone tablets. I thought they would be already online or something, but no, it was... all paper, and then to find out that a lot of hospitals still did that until very recently, like you're pointing out, I couldn't believe it.
Well,
why is that? Is that because they're worried about privacy, or they're just lazy?
It's expensive to implement in an electronic medical record
system. Well, I suppose that's true.
Technically, Mercy already has one. They're replacing it with a newer, better
one. Oh, okay.
But I mean, the hope is that over time it'll save money because you reduce redundancy of care and, you know, the things that you choose are more appropriate because you have actual access rather than... I mean, I remember when I was in grad school over at the hospital, there'd be kids who were very young who had records here. I'll show you, listeners, that were this thick. it was like bound,
it was about 7 inches.
Books, you know, several volumes worth of stuff. And, of course, nobody ever goes through it all
because you can't.
So.
And one of the advantages to Epic and the way Mercy is implementing it is they're putting it out to all of their clinics so that they're all on one system. It's one record per person so that if you're out at in Tama or wherever, one of their remote clinics, and you break your leg and they fix you up there, that goes into your permanent medical record, and when you're back home in Cedar Rapids or Iowa City or wherever you're at, that's in the record and they can see what was done.
Yeah, it seems pretty basic. It seems like That's just something they would have been doing the whole time. But you're right. I mean, a lot of those medical records, I mean, someone would have to put all that in, and that's, boy, that's a lot of work. You have to hire a lot of temp people, like Tony.
I have a full-time employment now, Mr.
Sorry.
I'm like some people at this table who are you.
Okay, like me then. Like me. I meant like me. Gosh, I didn't mean to press a sensitive button.
I've been, dude, I was unemployed for 2 friggin' years.
I'll tell you, every time people talk about temps, I'm very sensitive to it.
Yeah.
Well, having been one before.
I've been a temp several times.
You're not an ATM anymore?
No.
Oh, no. She left early. She now is the toothbrush queen of the Midwest or something.
Whoa.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, sash and a tiara to prove it.
ATM.
And it looks lovely on you, by the way.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, Beth, how was your week?
My week was good. I did nothing royal, particularly. No. Although I did watch Miss America. Was that last weekend? That was 2 weekends ago.
I don't
know. And when this airs, it will have been a month ago. So.
Who won?
South Carolina came in second. She was the runner-up. I wanted Washington to win. She did not. I don't remember.
Wow.
Whoa!
Iowa did not answer her question well in the question round.
She didn't.
And she came in fourth runner-up.
I think that might have actually
made it
to the soup.
Yes.
I think the Iowa thing might have actually
Her question was about, should we legalize marijuana? And so she had a very well laid out point about how I think it should be only legal for medical purposes and this would all be fine. And it was all great until her last sentence when she said, I think we should only legalize it for recreational and medical use only. What other uses are there? And you just
not
unraveled your whole point.
Not for building buildings out of pot is a bad idea.
So I think I was watching and I said, and she just came in fourth. And then she did. So
it was
really too bad. She had a good talent. She was a good contender.
What did she do for
a talent? She was a tap dancer.
Oh.
And there were 3 tap dancers in the group that they showed talents of, and one was very technically proficient and the other 2 really got the crowd into it, so I thought they each brought something different to the table and it was fun to watch.
So she didn't happen to mention that in Iowa pot grows everywhere.
She did not.
We don't, it doesn't matter if it's legal, it's just everywhere.
Didn't
just
use the phrase ditch weed.
Yeah, pick it out of the ditch or out of the field.
She wants to be promoted from being Miss Iowa to being Miss America. You don't want to be too state focused at the time.
Okay. Gosh.
Yeah, no, you know.
One time,
you have to grow beyond your state, William.
One time, Miss Iowa was the daughter of the doctor who delivered me.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Did she mention that at the pageant?
She lost, so no.
I work with the guy whose daughter was in Miss Iowa.
Yeah.
See, and I was about to give you flack for watching a pageant thing, but I remembered you're the only person at this table who has a legitimate background that can get away with it.
That's true.
Yes.
Probably.
I think it has come up before.
I don't know everyone's genealogy in here.
I think it has come
history
up before on the podcast, but I don't remember. This is Miss Czechoslovak Iowa 2010.
Yes.
I believe.
Oh.
Yes, I'm
her
impressed.
Her little business cards had her in the little get-up and everything. It was adorable.
In the little get-up.
In Croy,
where you got a blouse with puffy sleeves and a vest and a skirt and an apron and a flower.
And your hands on
headdress.
Your hips like you're just so happy to be here.
Yes, I think that's really so your sleeves don't get smushed.
Oh, okay.
It also allegedly makes you look more slender. Like if you read advice for how to look good in your photos.
If
you have your arms apart from your body, then you look more slender because it's not just adding to your midsection.
So skinny!
So this thing you were wearing is like traditional.
It's a traditional.
She looks like a Morris dancer or,
Czech,
you know.
Yeah.
Somebody who went to a Ren Czech fair, that kind of deal. Yeah.
So
from about the 1800s.
How much Czech are you?
I'm 25% Slovak.
And what's the name of that side of the family?
That comes Jacobs.
Oh, Jacobs? I was hoping for something like...
Hey, dude.
Cool.
Island, they had no choice, okay? Don't give them grief.
Well, but because there's a lot of...
You're over Kovac.
There's a lot of Czech folks from the town I'm from, actually.
She says she's Slovak. She's not Czech.
Oh, that's
right. Stop.
We're from just over the border. My great-great-grandmother is from about 7 miles from the border. So probably somebody else has been from the other side. Possibly the line has been a different place. hard to completely say.
Melcher and Dallas. Yeah, it's like Melcher and Dallas. See, Melcher has...
oh, God, you did this all off the air. Now you're going to subject them to it?
No, I won't. Never mind.
No, but I saw somebody at the gym a couple weeks ago that had a shirt on that said Melcher Dallas.
Did you ask?
I didn't because she got out before I could, but I was going to. Because at first I was like, well, she looked younger than us, and so I was like, she probably doesn't. But then I was like, you know, there's not that many people, so she probably knows rights, if not.
Her family has to know your family.
Probably.
It's just unavoidable. So there's like three families.
Either that or it's like the new trendy thing for kids to wear Melcher Dallas shirts.
It's ironic.
It is. It's like a sex hat.
Hipsters with.
Right up there. I brought it. It's right there. I'm just not wearing it right now. No, but see, I will say this, though.
True. This might be the first episode you've ever recorded without a hat on.
Yeah. I will say this, though, that the Melcher Dallas was a big coal mining town, and it did have a significant number of Catholic, Slavic people, Croatian, whatever. And some of the recognizable names in our town are like Starkovich and stuff like that. Does that sound anything like
that? Starkovich is like the Eastern European Iron Man?
Yeah, I guess. Kozlerich and... A bunch of itches.
Yeah. That you just can't scratch.
A bunch of itches. That sounds really offensive to me, and I can't really put my finger on
it
entirely.
It's like
I feel
main...
like that should be really offensive.
That's how you know that someone has that background in our town.
Except the one person... So could you say you had a rash of Slavic people?
Yes, exactly.
I feel dirty.
But Slovaks
and Slavics are different.
Oh,
that's true.
That's true. We had an exchange student from Slovakia, and that was a big thing. And it was hilarious because it was just a few years after that had become a thing.
Yes.
So it was very big.
1993.
I remember giving her a foot massage backstage during a play.
Do you now?
Wow. Who? What did you
say? The girl from Slovakia in high school.
Okay.
Kind of had a thing for her.
Really?
Really?
I wouldn't have guessed just from that little piece of information. So how did that happen that you got to be Miss...
I was...
She fought all the other ones in single combat. She killed every other Czech and Slovak.
There can be only one.
But, I presume that, the Czech society in Cedar Rapids have some similar thing.
Yes, the Czech Heritage Foundation is what puts on the pageant.
Okay, so it's the same thing, okay.
Yes.
Well, similar thing.
Yeah, so anyone from across the state is welcome to participate, although many of the events are very Cedar Rapids focused, so...
So do you have to prove that you're, 10%
You have to write down what your lineage is to the point of you say, who's your qualifying relative? I don't think that they actually go and check.
They don't check.
Did you submit blood so they can analyze your DNA?
No, I don't think it's quite that.
Are there qualifying events before you get to this?
There's this. In Iowa, we just have the one state pageant. Nebraska has a much bigger program, and they have local pageants, and then they have the state pageant, I believe. So, and then they actually, Nebraska hosts the national pageant.
I was
going
to say,
well.
And you won the state, so you theoretically went to the
I went to nationals.
And you, if I recall, did you do decent?
I didn't place in anything, but I didn't. I was not in the runners up, but many people were surprised at that. Expressed their surprise.
Well, yeah, of course.
Whether they were just being polite, I don't know.
I can tell you right now, everyone at this table is appalled, really.
You're
writing some letters.
Bursting with Slovakishness. In fact, it's kind of gross.
So did you have a little talent thing you did and everything?
Yes.
What did you do?
I made a Christmas tree skirt that had a nativity scene appliqué on it. So it was a quilted Christmas tree skirt.
I remember this now. This weird feeling of nausea when we got into the details about this.
what made you decide to do that?
I thought it would be interesting looking, and I could tell the Christmas story. And when we the year before we visited Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and they have a lot of Moravian influence there. So
when you talked about it, did you say, well, I was inspired to do this because I went to Bethlehem?
Yeah.
Not, don't mention the Pennsylvania part. Just went to Bethlehem.
Because I went to Hershey. Okay.
Well, and they had a big living nativity that they were asking that people would come see, and then couldn't get the
baby Jesus to stop crying.
in Bethlehem, they have the kids will go around to different people's houses to see that each person's different crutch. So they're
each person's different what?
Crutch. Your nativity scene.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dude, raised with no religion. I thought you were being smart.
No. Yeah. Again.
So, you know, your little nativity scene where you've got Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the three wise men and the shepherds and the sheep and the camels and whatever else your personal nativity scene has in it. And they'd get to see that at the different houses. So it was a big community building thing. And I thought it would be interesting to build that into
a skirt.
Right. An appliqué Christmas tree skirt.
It's not like she wore it.
I did not wear
so,
it.
Okay. So,
I'm kind of disappointed now, because I was picturing you in this.
No, it's for the tree.
Okay, but what inspired you to try to be in this competition in the first place? I mean, was it...
Peer pressure. All the cool kids are in the Czechoslovakia
pageant.
Or had you done it before?
I had not done it before. The pageant is in May, and in about February, I was sitting and doing homework in the engineering building at the University of Iowa, and this guy was picking on this other girl, and she said, "Hey, leave me alone, I'm Miss Czechoslovak, Iowa, 2009.
Don't you know who I am?"
Yeah, and I was like, what? There is such a thing?
And you can use that to deflect bullies?
I don't think it worked particularly well, but that was how I heard about it, and so she helped me prepare for it.
How old were you then?
I was 25.
What were you going to say?
I was 24, and I turned 25 before the pageant.
Okay.
I'm saying this is how you should advocate for the podcast in the future. Is you guys should just stage scenes where you go around and say, "What? Don't you know I listen to the Magical Talking Hat?" And then people
don't
will
bother
be so
me.
Intrigued.
I thought you were going to say the official podcast listened to by Miss.
That
needs to be a
things.
Thing, I think.
But so, does every state? Are there 50?
There are not 50 state contestants. Okay. Different. Some states send somebody every year, and then other states don't have an official pageant system. So if you've got one person who wants to compete,
who applies,
then
they like,
desperately want to see the Miss Czech Slovak Hawaii pageant.
Well, and some states just don't have very many Czechs and Slovaks, so they really don't have a population to be drawing
from. There's
one
girl, her name's Mary, she wins every year because she's the only Czech or Slovak in the state, so the pageant's
at
her
house. Are you ineligible?
I think you can't run in back-to-back years, but I think you could come back and do it again.
Come back 2013?
Now I'm too old.
I think the honey queen works the same way, the honey council. Yeah, if you're going to be the honey queen, you can only
Have any of this shit on the West Coast. I don't know what the hell's wrong
with you people.
Like, we had an Oregon. I believe we had a contestant from Oregon
Miss Iris or something. We probably do. I guess my family just had nothing to do with it.
But you said you were doing your homework in the engineering?
Yes.
So you were studying engineering?
Yes.
She's an engineer. Yeah. Toothbrushes.
Oh.
So she got her master's in toothbrush engineering.
No, wait.
That's not quite true, Tony, but...
Engineering here at the University of Iowa?
Yes.
And you have a master's degree?
Yes.
What kind of engineering is it? Not
industrial.
Toothbrush. Oh. So. That's really impressive.
Thank you.
That's what was hilarious to me and Chris. It was we were sort of the three amigos in the temp thing. And
we were the only ones that outlasted.
I was like, I've been unemployed forever, and I don't give a damn. And Chris is like, yeah, I got tired of working in finance, and so I'm not doing nothing. And she's like, I'm getting my master's degree in engineering right now. And we're like, what the hell are you doing here?
I had finished by that point.
Oh, my goodness.
I was mid-PhD at that point.
Well, how do you like working, you know, with toothbrushes?
It's interesting. It's fun. It's got its own challenges because in some countries it's considered a medical device, and in other countries it's a cosmetic device.
I have this thing here. Can you take that?
I'm not a dentist, Tony.
She could maybe design you something to fix that.
There
thing.
You go.
But Tony does have a new toothbrush.
I do.
Really
it vibrates.
But do you really do anything with the actual toothbrushes, or are you more about the manufacturing process?
The manufacturing process.
Right. So you're someone comes to you and says, "Hey, we're going to do this with the toothbrushes, and how are we going to? Are we going to be able to do this with the machines we have, or what machines are we going to need to produce this toothbrush?"
I try to make us get the lines that we have to run faster, so you can make more brushes.
Efficiency,
in the
right.
Yeah, it's more about efficiency.
Who do I talk to about my brilliant toothbrush idea?
You can talk to us about it.
Okay. Here's the thing: edible bristles.
Well, bristles now can be eaten. I wouldn't suggest it.
No, I'm talking like ones made
they're
out
non-toxic.
Of like meat.
That's
something.
Good.
That's good to know. Thanks for telling us that.
Sure.
I'm talking about like a toothbrush with the bristles or like beef jerky or something.
No.
Well, those ones that are one-time use that taste minty, but you aren't supposed to actually
swallow it when you're done.
Yeah, I remember those commercials. You're always like, all the hip people are at the club, and they're like, oh, my breath is bad. Oh, I'll just brush my teeth and throw it away, and now I can dance all night long.
Yes. Oh. Don't you have that experience when you go to the club?
I do not. By the time I get there, I'm drunk enough.
There was great visuals there while you were explaining that listeners aren't going to get to see. But
that's how it looked on the commercial.
I'm listening to Mark and Beth and the producer, and I'm thinking, what are we doing here? They're so much more interesting.
Okay, we're going to go.
Let them finish because we suck.
We haven't figured out how Trisha's week was yet.
How was your week?
Way to skip her.
Well, but she's been talking the whole time, and she's been interesting.
Yeah, she won't shut up. It's just crazy.
No, that's not what I meant. You know I didn't mean that.
Yeah, that's the problem here.
So how was your week?
How was my week? We had a weekend.
I was there, so I'll know if you're lying.
I know. We had a weekend with my family playing board games.
Oh, we did it. Oh, we will. Yes. We will have.
In the future.
Did that.
It was awesome.
We will have did that.
Yeah, okay. Yes. If I go back to real time, because otherwise it just gets too confusing for all of us. Yes, my sister and my parents are coming, and we're going to play board games for the weekend, because we did that one time before, and it was fun. So,
we like doing it, but we always go there, and it's like a holiday, and there's all sorts of cooking, and there's little kids, and all
sometimes
stuff.
Presents.
Exactly. So every once in a while, we'd just be like, you know, drive over, and we'll get a hotel room, and we'll just play games all weekend.
Yay. Sounds like fun.
Hopefully.
No, I think the week was fine. I don't know. I don't remember what happened. I have a job interview on Monday, so that's exciting.
You do?
At the same place or a different place?
It's to be the boss of who she is now.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
It's to kind of do the work that I'm doing but get paid for it. So
that is ideal. Yeah. That was my biggest problem when Tony and I worked together.
That you had to be his boss, but didn't.
No,
get paid
it was
for
not.
It.
She had to do work.
I wasn't being Tony's boss. I was doing what our boss. I was kept finding things that I'm like, why are we doing it this way? It would be so much faster and better if we did it this other way.
Well,
which
you know,
she did not appreciate, but our other bosses did.
When you have a master's in engineering,
I saw them recently. By the way,
I imagine if you've got a master's in engineering, you look at the whole world and think, "My God, look how inefficient everything is! I can't believe it."
A little bit, yes.
Drives you nuts.
And one of our bosses stood up for me. She said, "You know, in a few years, we're going to have to pay her big bucks to tell you this information. So maybe you should take some advice."
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, one person's on my side.
Chris and I worked on getting her to stop. Also,
because we were paid hourly, so the more efficient
it really was not to our advantage to be efficient.
Well, you know, that's something else I did when I was in college. I worked for the university, and one time during interim, I was helping them wax the floors in the residence hall cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so I was working with a couple full-time people, you know, and boy, I was really gung-ho. As you could probably imagine.
Yes.
And so I'm.
You would make a terrible temp worker.
I'm sweeping the floor, and I'm saying, okay, guys, I think we're ready to wax over here. And one of the guys, he'd say, William, slow down. You got to learn how to do things the university way. I said, the university way? What are you talking about? Okay, well, what have you done so far? Well, I swept all the floors to get them ready for stripping. Okay, well, that's a lot of work. We need to sit down and take a rest. And we did for like an hour.
And he didn't do any of the work.
No, he didn't do anything. I did it.
Interesting.
William, he said, you've got to learn how to do things at university. He said that about 16 times while we were working that night.
You obviously never got the concept.
No, I really.
I remember working with you.
I really did.
Did not get the university way.
No, but that was the university way.
I had a government job briefly at one point, and...
Talk louder.
Sorry.
Don't
be a William. And we had a lot of work to do, and then we had almost no work to do. Mm. But we knew there was going to be more work, so they didn't want to let any of us go.
Right,
and so they were making up things for people to do, to keep people occupied. And I walked into a room one day, because I had finished my task, and I was checking in with the other people that were also temps like me, and I walk in, and they have one of those big, like, 5-pound coffee cans, and it's full of paper clips. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they're sitting there dividing the paper clips by what size they are.
Ooh.
And I'm like, okay, I can't. Like, I can't do this. Like, this
That's
is just
most
crazy.
Of my job now.
And that was the day that we learned the university way, because when you have a task that's not sorting paper clips, you don't want to get to too fast, because if you do, then you're stuck with the sorting paper clips.
Sorting paper clips.
So you kind of have to pace yourself sometimes.
No, but you really have to be flexible. I tried to explain this to people who work. You need to have three speeds as a temp worker, because you have whatever your normal speed is, and you just work, and that's fine. And then you have the speed, and this does come up where this has to be done. We had it a lot where we were. Mm-hmm. This has to be done by this day. Like any applications we don't process just aren't going to happen after this date. So then we have to really kick it in gear, and we have to work our butt off. And then there's times where they would say, this pile of papers is all the work we have for you for the rest of the week. When this is done, we will send you home, wink, wink.
And you're getting paid by the hour, so
Yeah, and so you're like, okay, huh. And by the way, for those of you who aren't watching us live,
he's like picking
which
up
is
a piece
everybody,
of paper, pantomime.
Yes, pantomime. You pick it up, you set it down, you go and you talk to Beth, mm-hmm. and you come back, you get a drink. You eventually, maybe you look at the name on the top. Like, you have to learn how to make the work fit into the time, and that can expand or contract. It's very important. And I still have that in my job now. There are the times where it's really busy, and you got to work your butt off, and then there are the times where there's not a lot, but you have to keep it going, so...
I will say, working at the accelerated speed is what then got me hired to be a more permanent temp. I had been there about 10 hours total, so I'd been there one full day, and then it was midday of the second day I was working there, and they said, would you stay on for the next four
That's
months
true, because
and
it
do
was,
this relatively full time?
It was me and Chris, and then they brought in, we always called you guys the what was it, gold farm?
Gold men? No.
Gold something, and we called you the gold whatever kids.
Okay.
And then they all came
Goldman?
In.
I think.
Maybe Goldman kids. And because that was the name of that project.
Some famous guy, I don't know.
It was all scholarship stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh. And so that's what we called you guys, the kids. And there were like eight of you to do that while we were doing other stuff. And then they all went away. And then they'd be like, we're taking the top two, and we're going to use them on this next thing. And that was Beth, and probably Joe was probably the other one.
Yeah, well, Joe stuck around some of the time.
Yeah.
And you got to stay on for another project. Because
me and Chris had been there forever. We were a combination of being pretty efficient and them liking us. We were sort of the permanent temps, like, because mm-hmm. they always had at least one or two people's worth of things, and so they would have us for that. But that's true, yeah. I mean, and that's one of those times when you got to work mm-hmm. fast.
I think what really endeared me to them is I spent about the first hour teaching this other guy how to do it, because he was just lost, and
showing
I still finished.
Yeah.
I finished a lot more than he did, even than anybody else did, even after taking an hour out to basically do nothing.
Teaching the stupid ones always makes you look good.
But it was a good experience, and I think about it a lot more than I thought that I would in my current job, in terms of how that role went and how it's what it's like to be a temp and moving into different things and how you
and it
get
was
to
a
move
good
on.
Example of lots of what to do and what not to do. That was a very
yes.
complicated thing, and some of it was done really well and some of it was done really poorly. Well,
when I was a manager and I managed a support office, that was one of those situations where sometimes everyone was really busy and sometimes they weren't.
Yes, very
and,
much.
And my philosophy, and I shared this with the other managers, was that, you know, if my people can be on the spot when things are really hectic, I don't feel like I have to find things for them to do when it's not. That's like their little reward
yes.
is, okay, now it's not busy. You can take it easy. You can take your time, because later you're going to be busy as all get out, and it's going to be a real pain.
But to be fair, his philosophy was also, and he brought this up in every yearly evaluation of his employees, that there was no amount of money that you could pay someone to equal to the time that they were committing
That's
to
right.
a job.
That's right.
And this was not a popular management philosophy. So William was a great boss. William was probably a really crappy manager to people above him.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah. He was probably a really bad employee in that position. He was a great boss.
No, but think about
and
it,
and we performed really well under you.
Even if someone comes to work and they do nothing, could you pay them enough to sit there and do nothing? I don't think so. I think anyone's time, even doing nothing, is worth more than you could possibly ever pay them.
But
because they could easily be doing something else.
But they could be doing
like
nothing on their own.
Right. That's,
and not get
that's
paid
my
for
nightmare.
It.
I
yeah,
much
but,
prefer go to work and do things
no, exactly
than
right.
go and do nothing.
And
that
most,
makes me crazy.
And see,
yes.
most people are like that. See, this is this is why I had this philosophy, because I noticed that what a lot of managers wanted to do is they wanted to treat every employee like the worst employee. Because, see, that way everyone's getting treated the same.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And but I noticed that the fact is hardly anybody was the worst employee. Just about everyone was like,
well, by
you,
definition, one person would be the worst
employee. Well, I suppose. You know what I'm saying? Most people, most people were like you. They wanted to do something. They didn't want to do nothing. So, and finding things for them to do that were ridiculous, like sorting paperclips, that was just dumb. So, if you just get out of their way, and when there's really work, when there's a lot of work to do, they'll do it. And when there isn't, just let them take a little break. It's no big deal. And you just pointed out that everyone did a fine job on my team that
way. I think everyone liked you, and so they were, I think there's something to be said for manager loyalty. We wanted to do well for William, so we worked our butts. I like to get paid as much as possible to do as little as possible.
Well, that's everybody. I think that's true for everybody.
Amen, brother. Yeah!
And I don't mean even just in my job. I mean in my marriage, in my friendships, in my friendships, in my interactions with the public. I like to get back as much as I can doing as little as I can.
Well, yes. I think that's... I don't think anyone's surprised to hear that.
No.
So, baby, how was your week?
Yeah.
How was my 3 days?
Did you succeed in getting a lot for nothing? Having your cake and eating it too?
It did pretty well. It did.
You got brownies.
I got new clothes.
You did?
Yeah, we went shopping.
These jeans are new. I have another set of new jeans, and I have 3 new shirts. And I am pleased to say, both pairs of jeans, 2 inches smaller than my last set.
All right, good
and
job.
And the shirts, one size smaller.
Good.
You do look much more svelte than last time I saw you.
Something's going on.
And the listeners can tell.
Do I sound thinner?
Oh, my God.
So I got a bunch of new clothes. That was fun. And we went out to dinner with Dave of Id and his wife. They first met in person in Iowa City, and their anniversary was this weekend, so... They were going to come down today and do the podcast and then have dinner down here, but because the ice storm, they came last night, and so they called and they said, do you want to have supper with us?
Where do they live now?
They live up in Cedar Rapids. And so we went out for Indian food last night. That was fun.
Where'd you go?
See them enough. Exotic India. That's pretty much our favorite restaurant in town, I think.
That's a good one.
And we introduced them to it, and they love it. So we did that. This coming week, I will finally game. This coming week.
Finally, what do you mean?
We haven't gamed for a while. I was sick, and then Ben was sick.
Oh.
So it's been several weeks since we were able to begin our process of delving into Max's dream world and try and evacuate the evil spirit that is possessing him currently.
Oh, Max is the person
Max
who's possessed.
Max is the character, yeah, Cheryl, who's still mad that she can't play possessed Max anymore because she really liked being really creepy.
Yeah, sure. That's
she was mad. She enjoyed
part of the fun.
Really creepy and stalkery. So we'll finally get to do that unless somebody else gets sick. Still playing a lot in New Vegas.
Defending our dungeon.
Defending our dungeon. We play a lot of dungeon defenders. I think we mentioned this game before. It's on Steam, the playable network, and it's available for both PC and Mac, so we can play it together on our separate computers.
Oh. People, you also can get it for your PS3 or your Xbox
Yes.
if you're not PC.
Yes, you can also get it for PS3 or Xbox, and it's very fun. It's tower defense and action RPG together. So, like, you build defenses... And then you say, we're ready. And then they let all the monsters in, and you run around and still fight them.
Oh.
And it's very cute. You're these little silly, you're like little kid defenders of things and stuff. And it's fun, and we can play cooperatively.
Oh, cooperative.
So we really enjoy
okay,
that. Yeah,
cool.
No, we don't ever compete against each other. But so we've been playing that. That's fun. I think that's it. Anything else interesting happen?
No, we didn't see, like, any movies or anything. There's a lot of movies out right now that are, like, 2.5, 3 longer hours, and so, like...
On a Wednesday night, we're not really down for
that. Yeah, on a weeknight, like, you look, and the movie doesn't even start till 8. And
yeah.
It's like, there's no way that we're going to stay up that late.
We finally saw Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So, you guys talked about that
before. Yeah,
haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
I think you should.
I probably will, but not for a while.
We still haven't gotten to Hobbit. I don't know. The next 2 date nights are mine, so we'll see what happens.
Well, how'd you like Lincoln?
It was good. I thought it was very interesting. I had heard it was very focused on passing the 13th Amendment, and that was true. It was interesting. It was, of course, different from Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer that we saw earlier.
Love it, love it.
But I enjoyed that we were able to watch it on the big screen in the theater. But I, David had said that I think it would be really great if we own this. I think it would translate to small screen well. Also,
I think it
will. Well, I hope it does, because that's how I'm going to see it. Probably.
I was busy being excited because I thought, you know, in the sink. You're in the White House kitchen in the back of the scene. I'm like, I think that's the Lincoln China.
Nice. No, I'm getting to the point where stuff almost looks better on my TV anyway, in some cases. I mean, going to the theater is still an experience, but the stuff that I used to be like, oh, visually, I really want to see it on the big screen. I'm almost to the point where I'm like, visually, I really want to see it on my HD TV and not on the stupid projection.
Yeah, watch it on Blu-ray. And for me, it sounds better at home right now. For some reason, every theater I go to doesn't sound very good.
Well, you have all those annoying talking people munching their popcorn.
Also true.
Talking about the Lincoln China.
That's true. Go on Wednesday.
Did you shout it out?
No, I did say, I think that's the Lincoln China. And he looked at me weird. And then the next day, we were talking about it. And it's like, yeah, you know, a variety of presidents have had China. And I had to look it up and prove it to him. He had never heard of the concept, apparently.
I saw a car commercial today. And it's, you know, all shots of the exciting interior and it going fast and all this. And then there's this shot of this guy walking away through a field in a long coat and a big tall hat.
It's because it's a Lincoln commercial.
I finally figured it out. I was like, what the hell? It's probably a Lincoln car.
I saw that same commercial earlier this weekend and had the same kind of...
I was like, we just picked a president. And it's not... Yeah.
I think they might have another commercial. Maybe it's part of the same one where they talk about the car being presidential and stuff. I'm like, what car is this?
Yeah.
Little did we know.
It's a Lincoln. That doesn't make sense.
President Dodge. Don't you remember President Dodge?
Have we ever invoked the Lincoln legacy?
Oh my God. Ford needs to make commercials with shots of Gerald Ford.
Playing football or not.
Or just shots of Chevy Chase.
Or like, falling down.
Answering the glass of water from the old SNL sketches. That's what it should be. Don't you want a car like this? That would be awesome.
It was confusing. I mean,
yeah,
cars were not around in the sense that they are now when Lincoln was president.
Lincoln is going to have car commercials, they're talking about it being presidential for being Lincoln. They need to make sure the rear window has bulletproof glass.
Nice. That wasn't his problem.
Or to the drive-in movie.
Yeah, no, did they name it after him, or did they name it after something that's named after him?
See, that's the thing I wondered about when I first heard about this commercial.
I didn't think they named it after the company's last name.
Well, that's what I thought. That's kind of what I thought.
Because that's a weird one. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like a car that would free slaves. But otherwise, I don't really know what about him I would particularly want
in a car.
I don't like it for my car to lie, I suppose.
I don't want it to look much older 4 years from now than it did at the beginning.
I don't want it to grow a beard. My car does have a higher voice than you would expect when you look at it. So that could be part of the thing. That's just weird.
On the other hand, I don't want my car to not have ever been elected to anything either.
No, you don't want that either. No, you want... You need an electable car.
Yes. Your comment about the beard reminded me. We were at the mall the other day and saw this car that has a giant mustache on the front bumper.
Will you post that on the blog so the rest of the listeners can see it?
Post that on the blog. That is...
That's interesting. Damn. Why would anybody do that?
I don't... probably because it makes them laugh. Oh,
yeah.
Or maybe
it's probably
bad
for their air intake.
Maybe they hit an animal and it just by sheer coincidence...
It was like the
badger was like going like this at the time. And it just
I'm willing to buy that explanation completely.
And that's why I have you on this show.
Yep. Believe it. I believe anything.
100 weeks. A man, another man, and a hat.
And Ezzy.
And occasionally a cat when she feels the hell like it.
In 4 weeks, it'll be 2 years.
If we can manage four more, 2 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
I think you're now officially Tony's second longest relationship.
He's catching up to you, baby. He's catching up.
No, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that.
Unless we take a vacation.
We're on a break for Time moves faster.
I'm okay. Being
I probably
second.
Have spent more documentable hours talking to him than I have to you.
Like, in the past 2 years or ever?
Ever. That's all I
remember. Oh, come on.
He's very quiet at home. He never speaks at all.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a very silent, shy person in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That must be very different from your outside personality.
I see where you're going with there. I see how you're going. All right. Well,
it's probably been a whole hour already.
No, first we had to bring out the Lincoln Bible so that we can have the O's.
Wait, you mean the car has a Bible?
Exactly.
Is that what's in the glove compartment?
It's a Bible.
I promise you, somewhere in America there is a dealership that does that. I promise you, somebody puts that in.
Bet it is south of the Mason-Dixon line.
I think you might be right.
Tony and I will be taking a trip to Wisconsin later
this
year.
Yes, we are.
And when I was looking for things that we might do in the area, apparently the first hotel to have Gideon Bibles is near where we're
going to
be.
Whoa. Why are you going to Wisconsin?
Groupon.
Where are you going?
It was actually
Wisconsin?
Living Social. But
Fayetteville?
I don't remember.
It's in the southwestern corner. It's very
so close.
Not terribly far from Prairie du Chien. I'll put it that way.
We just needed to get away.
There, we've done this before. We stayed at a little B&B in Cassville one time, and it was cool, and we went back a couple times.
How far is that from here?
Cassville, that one's like 3 hours, I say. This one, I think, is 2.5.
Yeah, something like that.
How come I've always suggested this to you? How come you never go to hell?
Hell's a little far away.
I guess.
I mean, not for me personally.
I love
that you caught that at the exact same time. Like, no, not for me, but Trish is nicer than that. No, these are just, I mean, it's just a quick little hop out
there. That's
true.
That's not
And it's gorgeous. And, I mean, there's not a lot to do. But
Which
that's
is kind
fine.
Of nice.
It's, yeah, you just hang out. And they usually have some stupid little, you know, nature preserve or museum
it's
of
stupid.
Thimbles.
It's
but I mean, you know, some
I
very
have been
local
to the
thing.
Hair museum. I guess it was a textile museum and they had a hair exhibit.
And they had hair. Yeah. Nice.
That
more,
was special. That was also in Denver. So,
But
that was before your store opened.
Yeah. So
and we
I was
going to
ask. But see, Hell has mini golf now.
Hell has many
exactly.
But I'm guessing
there are some
is there a ring of fire?
I don't know.
There are some people who always thought
the souls
hell was
of the
mini golf.
I don't know. When I went to hell, they didn't have mini golf, and now they do, so I have to go back.
And everyone is a par three with major water hazards, and it's just...
I really don't know. I haven't been back to hell since...
The caddies are assholes.
Where have you been that has had mini golf with caddies?
In hell. So I'm saying you're there, assholes.
Wait, am I the only one that's been to hell? I guess so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I can't
well,
believe that.
Not according to scripture.
that's amazing.
Yeah, you're way.
You're the only one here who's been to hell.
Yeah. Well, and we went to hell, and then if you drive,
bought an exit visa.
Did you travel in a Lincoln or a handbasket?
No. We traveled in a Prius. Something appropriate about that. And then if you go far enough north, you get to paradise. We went there too. And you have to go over a bridge and everything.
Oh.
A really long bridge.
Did you have
and then,
did you have to
this.
Go towards the light?
No. Okay, so you go to hell, right? And if you drive far enough north, there's a bridge that you have to cross to get to paradise.
Yes.
You know what you have to do on the other side of the bridge? Pay a toll.
Oh. I was wondering if
and
you had to buy...
And what was the name of the guy at the gate?
Wow. Well,
oh, God.
I don't think we're supposed to be able to...
The only person in the world that you're like, so I bet you get a lot of Charon jokes, don't you? Like, really.
No, we just... We didn't have any money, so we had to, like...
Go back.
I don't remember what we did, but we managed to...
Don't you know when you go to hell? I mean, there's certain things you have to...
I know!
Coins on your eyes.
That's right, but...
He wasn't going to hell at that point. He was leaving.
Okay,
but you know what?
It's too far gone now. I just would like to say I was going to make a two tickets to paradise joke somewhere, but I feel the moment has passed. I just wanted credit for my intentions.
Okay, good. Good on you.
But
can you work in a Stairway to Heaven, gang?
Maybe from the under the bridge where the toll lives, where the troll lives.
The troll and the toll.
We didn't see the troll. We just
the troll outside.
The troll named Peter.
Nope.
Now we're all going to hell.
Apparently, as long as you have enough money, you can get in. That's
Scientology.
This is what, you know, the Reformation is a sham, everybody. when the Catholic Church said, if you pay enough money, you can get into heaven, they were right.
There you go.
Martin Luther was wrong. Okay.
Tony Williams been outside the gates. But
yep.
How much is a plenary indulgence for a Prius? Thank you.
Well, see, we thought that would earn us points, but apparently it didn't.
I feel like on the way into paradise, they'd be like, do you have anything to declare? Are you bringing in any outside fruit or meat?
We were really clever in doing this trip from hell to paradise, but apparently I got a t-shirt.
Of course that you're not.
Because apparently there's a group that does it on motorcycles.
Of course.
Now, that's really cool.
If you have a place named Hell, you do all that shit. If you have a place named Paradise, you do all that shit. If they're near each other,
in the same state and everything.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I would do it again, though. It was great.
But Wisconsin is a very nice place to visit.
Yes, it is.
And we're probably going to go to Potosi, where they have a brewery this time.
Oh, yes, yes. On a brewery thing. So I'll have to save up my carb rations for that day.
And it'll be Wisconsin, so we'll get some cheese.
Yeah, I'm hoping they have cheese beer. I know they'll have beer cheese, but I'm like, they should make some cheese beer.
Did I tell you about the person when I was working in support at Applied who couldn't sell her house? I did tell you that story, didn't I?
Couldn't sell her house because of the cheese?
No, she couldn't sell her house, so she buried a statue of St. Joseph upside down in her yard or something.
Well, that's what you
that's
do.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Wait, why? Why?
Is it St. Joseph or is it St.
John? I think it's St. Joseph.
What are we doing here? What?
I don't know.
I think it's a Catholic thing.
You have to get a statue, and I think there's a specific prayer, and you have to bury it in the yard.
And there's a specific orientation of the statue. Like, it has to look at the door to the house or something.
But hers didn't.
Oh,
so
she had a crisis of faith.
So I'm troubleshooting her computer problem, and she wants me to troubleshoot her house selling problem. So I said, she lived in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I said, I think you should try a libation.
Ah.
And might as well be beer, you know, because you're. She said, I'll try that, and she did. And the house sold the very next day.
It was all
William
you.
William has powers.
I hate you so much.
But didn't you come back from the dead after being electrocuted?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, he killed a lot of people.
No, he came back from hell. It's kind of the same.
No, but no, what was the...
There's some story where...
That was one of your faith moments or whatever. Yeah. You got electrocuted or whatever.
Electrocuted?
Maybe some girl got electrocuted and you were helping her.
Yeah, you were
there
helping...
Were stairs.
You brought the dead back. Or
No. A guy jumped down a stairwell and landed on his back and...
There was no electricity?
No.
Right.
I swear there was electricity. Did you get shocked by something?
No, I might have described feeling something like that.
Okay.
Like, because it was a very strange experience.
Weird.
But, yeah, libation.
No, when you guys were first at, you said she couldn't sell her house, so she put a statue of St. Joe. I thought that was like a thing that, like, you condemn it or something. I thought it was like salting the earth where it's so nothing can grow there. You stick the statue in it, you just drive for Mexico.
I think you have to pick it up and take it with you. I don't think you leave it.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Where do you go? To the new house?
Yeah.
And then it's upright, and then you have to get it a little hat.
Maybe. Or a wreath for Christmas. Yes.
And every time you expand on the house...
Or more beer, apparently.
You get a mechanical arm attached. And...
Well, I suppose... I mean, you know, I said beer because they lived in Wisconsin. I figured someplace else you might use something else.
Probably.
Like around here...
Couldn't they have used, like, you know, here you cheese? Would use
ethanol.
No, it's got to be a you know, alcoholic.
Here we would use Everclear.
No, we would probably use like a.
Oh!
No. I was going to say the bacon.
No.
I would think we would use something from a manor or something. They have wine.
Trish is making limoncello with and.
He says like it's work. I have a jar full of lemons and vodka at our house.
But it was funny because apparently my college years were a little different than hers because I was. She was using me as my expert advice on the vodka. And I was like, don't touch any of those. Mm-hmm. I would probably go with this. If you want to be fancy, it's that. No touch that. And yeah, the Hawkeye. We saw the Hawkeye there. And the Hawkeye bacon.
Did not get it for
there's
the
record. Wait, these are Hawkeye.
That's the thing. That's the only flavor. Haven't I talked about this on the show?
No.
Don't think
bacon
so.
Vodka.
Oh, you said bacon vodka. You
bacon
didn't say
vodka.
It was Hawkeye
well,
vodka.
Bacon vodka is a thing now.
Okay.
In the world.
In the world.
You can make your own homemade, or they sell it now. And the general consensus seems to be it tastes like Band-Aids.
Yum.
But it's good in a Bloody Mary and nothing else.
Yeah, nothing.
But so it's a thing. Hawkeye vodka, for those who don't recall, is the worst vodka in the world ever anywhere. It's
proudly made in Iowa.
Yes, and we occasionally drink. It was bad enough that at a certain point, my friend and I in college could just look at each other and go, Hawkeye vodka, and the other one would burst out laughing because it was so bad. And they do not make any flavors. Until now, they have one flavor. It is bacon. Why the worst vodka in since the beginning of time decided to go with the one flavor that has the least amount of uses and is the most disgusting and controversial flavor out there, I do not know.
Let me say again. Proudly made in Iowa.
Proudly, well, made in Iowa.
Where we have...
Proudly
bacon are probably
that's what it is.
And Hawkeye vodka.
All right, all right. So that must be it then. They're like at the pork.
Pork capital of the world right here.
Well, and then there's the... They make crap.
They're like, other flavors might be a little high-end for us.
Yeah.
Lemon-flavored pot? That's crazy talk.
No one will want that.
Yeah, it's a little gold label on, in the plastic, little mouthwash-looking bottles.
Yeah, it does really sort of follow that if you're the leading hog producer, you're the leading hog manure producer. So you're used to creating...
Yes.
Crap.
But if you are the leading cattle producer, you're not necessarily the leading bullshit producer.
I don't even want to get
into that. Can import.
Exactly. From,
you can import.
From, like, me.
Or yeah.
Same, yeah.
I same. Would say.
Yeah, I'd end up with, like, a Centaur sort of thing.
I would say that Iowa's production in that area has gone up since you came.
Yeah, pretty sure. Much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why my eyes are blue. I'm always a quart low. All right. This is a very serious thing to the two people in the room who have never experienced this before. You're going to see the hat.
Yes!
No.
That's why we braved the elements.
To keep this very secret, not tell other people.
Okay, you have described the hat before.
Yes. But only aspects of it.
Yeah.
Not the complete hat.
So what you're saying is I can't take a picture.
No.
No, you cannot take a picture.
No.
The thing about the hat is, too,
no.
The hat,
trust me,
even
no.
To us, it looks different all the
every
time.
Every time.
Yes, yeah, we're surprised often by the appearance of the hat. So
yes.
Don't be too alarmed or
here.
Hopefully not
offended. Remember. The level of commitment and effort we put into the show before you see this here.
And also remember the hat is magical, so
the
you must
magical,
teach it with,
yes.
Treat it with respect.
Actually, we're not sure. We're not sure. Some people may see a different hat than we see. We have no idea.
It's more sustainable than I thought.
Yeah, see?
My eyes! Ah, see what I'm saying? I told
now
you when
you
we
know.
Start showing people the hat, this
yeah,
is going to might happen.
We showed those Nazis that one time.
Yeah.
They just they melted
their
completely.
Their faces melted right off the skull.
Tom Cruise is making a new movie.
All right. Now I figure we should probably let the guests
certainly
draw first. So who wants to draw first?
Well, you're hard hat number one. You should.
Oh,
probably
that's right. Very gracious.
Reach in there. Don't look. Mix it around.
How can I look? My eyes have melted.
There we go. What's it say?
Do you want me to read it?
No, he's supposed to read it.
Do you want to read it?
It's yours.
Dear the Magical Talking Hat, would you rather be assimilated into the Borg or recruited to the dark side? Kia B.
Oh, Kia B, our favorite of the Kias. Which, that's how you spell it.
Yes, oh. I am Kia B. My deepest apologies for misspelling
like
it when I left a comment
how
on
how about
the
you?
Episode.
Which would you rather be, Mark? Assimilated or...
Well, you're already on the dark side. What am I talking about?
I'm pretty sure everyone
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Tell him to stop.
No, this is awesome.
Oh, shut up. Never
and
mind.
On
yeah,
episode, William gets
acting like I was choking.
We're
and
all going to have the same answer.
This picketing is pointless. I thought
who's
you were going to say
person?
That.
You'll see.
Never mind. I know.
You'll
who
see. Is.
What?
Well, let me put
it's
it to you this way.
The person who might not be a person at all.
We'll put it to you this way. We're all going to have the same answer. I'm making that generalization.
I know. That's
right
why
here.
I finally figured it
yes.
out. Yeah.
All right.
Back. Dark side, then.
So
definitely.
You're definitely dark side.
What about you?
I don't know.
Really? Is this a hard choice?
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
Comes
with brownies, too.
Yeah.
She's not enough of a nerd to know enough about either one.
I don't, yeah.
Well, do you know who the Borg are?
I don't know who the
from
Borg
Star
are.
Trek?
Well, I'll explain.
Oh,
it then.
Okay.
Allow me to explain. The Borg are, it's a collective hive mind kind of thing. So when they visit a civilization, one of the famous things that they say is, resistance is futile, you will be assimilated.
Okay.
And what they
That's where that comes from. They
do is they take everybody and they turn them into cyborgs, and then they take anything from their culture, and they bring it into their own experience or whatever, and that's how they advance.
Okay.
So you become one among a hive. And then, of course, the dark side.
Occasionally seven of nine.
There was one Borg that was separated, and she had some issues with that. But she was also, like, really ridiculously attractive and stuff on the
show. And dressed in spandex.
And, yeah.
So.
With fake, extra-large padding in the front.
Well,
those were cybernetic implants.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
See, there was Voyager, and apparently the ratings weren't good enough, and so they, whatever.
She needed to be enhanced.
Well, yeah. She wasn't on the show yet.
They
got
to bring in the hot chick.
They got rid of
make her a cyborg.
They got rid of one female character who apparently wasn't hot enough, and then they added this woman instead.
Well, I would think with the target demographic, you should have several hot women
on
the show.
Well, the captain, I thought I thought Captain Janeway was very attractive.
I always was into Kate Mulgrew, but she would.
Who is from Dubuque, Iowa, by the way?
Really?
Yes, she is.
I did not know that. She's currently on NTSF : SD.
Yeah, I've heard that. But she was also on Warehouse 13 for a little while.
She was a regent on Warehouse 13. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But which do you pick,
Beth?
Careful.
I know.
Think about it.
It's hard. But since Tony thinks everyone should be picking the dark side except you, that's,
I just assume.
I don't know, the Borg reinventing society thing seems interesting, whereas the dark side just...
They don't reinvent society, they assimilate everything.
You
and anything that they can use,
they
build into
useful.
Themselves.
Do you hear Mark here
the rest
advocating
of it, they just
the
just toss away.
See, I think the big kicker here for me is you become Borg, you lose all individuality.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I wouldn't like that.
No, you don't.
You're not you anymore.
You don't even
you
say I,
bored.
You say we.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
You don't like that part?
No.
Now.
I didn't like that in Ayn Rand. I don't like it.
Oh, my God. The Borg what is it? Objective realist or whatever. Oh, I never thought of that.
Good for you. But. I mean, I totally agree, but now keep in mind, if you're on the dark side, you have to do pretty much everything the Emperor tells you to do.
That's true.
No, that is true. Because if
you don't,
you don't
have to overthrow him in
episodes 7 through 9.
But
then you have to have an apprentice whose sole purpose in life is to overthrow you. So,
staring
and
me down.
You might have
that's
to
why
kill.
We'll
you
just make a better opposition to the good side. The Force.
It's that right? We could look at this as not really stupid and nerdy. And look at this as the genuine question between extreme order and extreme chaos.
Also, you have to destroy entire planets.
You don't have to.
Get
it's just
to.
A perk.
Oh, yes,
get
you
to.
Do. You get to.
It's a perk. But you get to live on the Death Star.
Yeah.
That destroys entire planet. Well, of course, the Borg do too, don't they? Never mind.
Right. But the dark side thinks that they're advancing their cause also.
This is a good point, though. How did we never talk about the results of the Death Star construction suggestion to the government.
Oh yeah.
Because they finally reported on that.
Yes.
That
very,
was
very
they
good
did
response.
That very
it
well.
Was awesome, yeah. Until you can fix the 2-meter exhaust port issue. There's
probably
no reason to
no
do
point.
It at all.
Because we anticipate, even though we're big, we do anticipate like a small force coming in perhaps.
I thought that was
well, what's your choice, Beth?
I
come on, you're
I
on
do
the hot
like
seat.
Order. It's hard to say. I don't know.
You can be on the dark side and impose your brand of order upon other people.
Okay, then dark side.
There we go.
You do like order. That's a very interesting thing. I would put that on a t-shirt, I think. I do like order. But yes, I mean, it's really not an issue of chaos, order and chaos, though. Because like Mark just pointed out, if you're the emperor, or, you can do whatever you want. You want order?
I still think it's you're imposing order as a plan to seek out chaos, because you're eventually looking for somebody who is strong enough that they break out of your imposed situation.
You're talking about D&D alignments, not
right, but
ordering
that's
chaos.
True,
but
that's
what
true.
Could be more ordered than having every single one of you have this massive army, and everyone in it is an exact duplicate of the other one. That's order. I mean, that's the very definition of order, don't you think?
Yeah, but I think of them as a tool. They're not your people. They're just they're a device.
Yeah.
They're just a really big device. You already know they're not you. They don't matter in the process.
That's exactly my point. Only you matter. So everything is dissolved down to one thing.
That's order right there. What is the end goal of the Emperor? And I'm not geeky enough to know to argue either way. Are we trying to construct a brave new world, or are we trying to deconstruct?
And actually,
the current
this is an
world?
Argument. In my opinion, the Emperor was a really bad Sith. The Emperor really did not adhere to the principles of the dark side and the Sith like others.
Because if he did, he would be undermining all this.
And
order
he would be attempting to raise up someone that would essentially kill him and take over. And he does do that with Luke at the end. But especially if you look in the horrible prequels or whatever, he's about himself. And ultimately, I do not think the dark side philosophy is a selfish philosophy. It is a self-focused philosophy. But your end goal is not just to become all-powerful yourself. Your end goal is to take the forces of chaos and the forces of competition and the forces of aggression to make strength and to make power, and you do that as much as you can, and you try and raise up the others so that they will eventually take you down and become even more powerful, and you're still trying to go for this sort of evolution of humanity. Or
so who is the best Sith then, if it's not the Emperor?
That's a tough one. Unfortunately, my knowledge of the expanded universe is kind of limited, so I'm not as good
expanded
with
limited.
That stuff.
Yeah. What about you? What do you choose?
I'm choosing the dark side.
Well, you don't even have to think about it?
Cookies. She got to think about it while you guys were...
we have cookies and we have individuality.
You know, I feel like since Mark was the first one to answer, it's like Mark is winning everybody over here and
you were speaking for the Borg.
Yeah, we're waiting. You're gonna
I was speaking for the Borg.
You have to try to convince Beth.
Yeah. No. I just wanted her to see both. You know,
right.
He's just
playing Borg's advocate.
Yes.
No, of course, dark side. Not a question. Never a question.
No one aspires to be Borg, do they?
Well,
I don't know about that.
Yes, that generality is true. No, dark side's way more fun.
Fun?
Oh, yeah.
You get to be yourself, and you can force choke and force
you get to really be yourself. If you're pissed off, you kill them. If you're feeling depressed that day, you wipe out an entire species. If you're having a good mood, let's go pillage.
Now, I have to pick one of these, right? I have to.
That seems to be the idea. They're coming for you, basically.
Okay.
Darth something is coming for you, and the Borg are coming for you. And whoever gets there first is going to do it.
What so it doesn't Borg matter. It's whoever gets there first. You just
who
said.
Who do you want to get there first?
Who do I want? Does that matter?
What for if the question? Borg assimilated the set?
That'd get weird. Yeah. I bet there's fan fiction out there.
This actually,
and I bet it's really bad.
This actually is not a difficult question for me at all.
Of course.
Dark side.
Oh!
He easily.
Snap.
Easily. Why would you think anything else?
Because you love collaboration.
But collaboration is assimilation.
The Borg is not about collaboration.
They have a meeting, and one of them's like, I had this really great idea, and they're all very supportive.
I feel like
I feel like
you have a strong moral compass, and I feel like the Borg are ultimately amoral, and I feel like the dark side is ultimately immoral.
Okay. The thing that the Borg is amoral?
I feel that way. I feel like the Borg is just this eating machine.
No, I don't see it that way.
It's almost an animal creation.
Here's the thing. To me, the most precious and powerful and important thing in the entire universe is a person's individual will and choice.
I did wonder about this. You're big into individuality.
So to me, there's nothing more immoral than the Borg. Even the dark side's not that immoral. The dark side doesn't even come close. And then when you get into the philosophical things like what you're talking about, where the Sith isn't really about creating a big empire, but it's about a certain philosophical view.
Yes.
I can sympathize with that philosophical view.
Well, and see, this is actually why I was so freaked out when you said your second choice for a superpower would be mind control. Because that's totally taking away someone's free will and individuality and imposing yours on them.
That's right. Well, it is. It's the most evil thing I could think of.
We got a little look into the real William there for a second with that. Are you heading out? All right.
Thank you,
guys. I don't know if it's at all within the... I don't know if it's at all within the allowabilities or whatever, but if it is, and you want to email me any of those photos that I could, like, put up on the blog or anything, that would be awesome. But I know...
Talk, so I have to talk to the photos.
I know, yeah. And yeah, whatever comes out of that, because I don't know if there's things, but...
That's cool. We're talking to our secret guest who's leaving now.
We don't know.
Do email me and let me know specifically like when and stuff, so I can, because I don't.
Don't worry. That kind of don't worry. Because cool. when it's over, Craniac thanks. Can just
yes, it's never
take
happened.
Care of all this in post.
Thank you. Guys.
Thank you. That's cool. Okay. So thanks for your question, Kia. And the Borg sucks. So
thank you. Well, and tell us, Kia, what you should write the blog, and let us know, Kia, what you would choose. Everybody should do that, right?
Am I the only one who thinks he looks like Adam Levine?
You could figure out how to put up a poll on the blog. That would be doing something, though.
That would be doing a lot of stuff.
PollDaddy.com has a plugin for WordPress.
There we go.
Just remind Kia where to go if she wants to comment on.
Go to themagicaltalkinghat.com. Although if this is your
first
time,
and like us on Facebook,
and follow me on Twitter at Not Quite Tony,
and post a comment on iTunes.
Yes, well, apparently people have been rating us on iTunes because we now have an official average rating, but we don't have any more than the four original.
What is the
there.
Official rating?
5 stars so far.
Whoa.
People love us.
They do well.
I mean, 4 people. Love
I think some. I think our first one was Azure Talon, and he originally put it as a 3, and then he went back and adjusted it. As
because
a 5.
You complained. Because
he's an asshole. That's why I gave him cancer.
What is wrong with you?
We know about this already. We've gone over this.
All right. You know what? We should draw another one.
All right. We should do that. By the way,
the hat is over there.
The phantom we were talking to was the reporter guy. He did not want us to acknowledge us and acknowledge him while he was doing it.
So now we're just going to talk about it.
I think you look like Adam Levine.
I don't think you know what Adam Levine looks like.
Do I get to
draw
a
question? Oh, I'm
sorry.
Sorry. I know
you think the second one is yours.
I get the second question. All right. I'm waiting for somebody to draw their own.
I thought that would be fun.
What should I get as my next tattoo? From Craig.
I didn't even know he had a tattoo.
I was going to say, do we know?
But no salutation to the hat.
He's British, so I'm going to assume it's some sort of beer logo that he already has.
Oh, he could get the name of the longest city in Welsh.
Oh!
And sort of like a tribal thing around
exactly.
His arm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or his leg, because it's a long way
around. We could wrap around a couple
times. Might have
to
go all the way around his torso.
Yeah. He's going, that's what you do.
I think right around his bicep would be pretty cool for that name.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I get a little confused over where Craig from Scotland lives now. But last I knew, he lives in Slough, made famous by the original British Office as just a hellhole in the world.
Yeah.
Apparently outside London. But living there, I feel like...
You just said he lived in Scotland.
He's from Scotland. This speaks to my point. I feel like he needs something that is inherently Scottish so that he can show people.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe like the thistle or whatever, because that's the Scottish symbol or whatever.
That's good.
I like that.
I just saw on CNN they're dressing their Shetland ponies in Shetland sweaters.
Oh, yes.
I heard
and
something about
so he could get a
this.
Tattoo of a sweater, and a whole sleeve.
If you read it on the Weather Channel, it will tell you that they are woven of tweed, which... They won't go into all the ways in which that is wrong.
Well, tweed is a woven material.
But sweaters are not. No.
But oh my god, do a whole arm sleeve that looks like the sleeve of a sweater.
Yeah, argyle.
Oh yes. Oh
no, you should do argyle socks.
Idea.
He's Scottish. It should be a tartan, preferably the tartan of his.
Ancestry. Very nice.
And once again, we learned that really no one should ask.
So,
would you want the traditional or the dress tartan?
Well, there's
the colors are different.
There's traditional, there's hunting.
Yes.
Mark knows all this stuff.
Yeah, I have Scottish background. I'm a member of our local Scottish
society. Me too. Oh, I'm society. Not a member of the local Scottish society. I thought that would tarnish my Slovak image.
Miss Scottish Iowa 2010,
right?
Oh, very nice.
His business cards, he's in the lab. Really
yes,
I was married in a kilt.
Yes, he was.
What about the garter? Is it just called a garter? Does it have a special name?
He should get a sporran tattooed where sporran belongs.
No, this is what I'm thinking. He should actually get a kilt tattooed all the way around, and as long as he wears a sporran, he won't get arrested going out.
All right.
That plan.
Wow. I think he's sorry he asked.
Yeah, I'm sorry he asked, actually, to be honest.
Well, what do you think he should get, though?
What do you think he should get? Are you anti-tattoo?
Yeah, I don't know that we've ever come up about this.
Is it like the Borg?
How do I feel about tattoos?
Like, yes.
And
Not Hervé Villachez. The body ink.
I don't have any tattoos or piercings.
I assumed that,
and would never do that.
Assume that too.
The thing for me personally is that I tend to avoid decisions that there's a good chance I'll regret. You know, even 10 years down the line.
That's why I can't.
So
get a
how
tattoo.
Did you get into the podcast?
Yeah.
He thought it
remember
was
three months.
3 months.
Weren't you listening before when we were talking about this?
10 years down the line, you still would have regretted those 3 months.
I'm not sure that part was on the podcast, though. Yeah. No. I think that was in our previous discussion.
Yeah. Sorry, we had an interview with the guy.
No, it just... for me, I don't know. You can't undo it. I mean, or you can, but it's really painful.
No, but that's always been my thing. I love tattoos, and I want a tattoo. Mm. I don't have anything that I could get tattooed that I trust... I would still like in 10 or 20
that's
years.
Kind of
I don't, fickle.
It's kind of
I agree. I don't have anything I'm passionate enough about that I could decide that I want this and I want it to be there.
Right.
I think this would be cool.
Right. And it's
painful.
I didn't
think it was cool 10 years ago.
And then whenever I get really into it, I think about what it would look like on my 80-year-old body.
Yes. There is that.
There are a lot of like I remember in the 90s when tribal arm tattoos were considered cool. And now anyone who has one is mocked, like, unceasingly. So how would I know that, like, the thing I got 10 years later is, like, the joke tattoo at this point? And no tattoo's original, either.
Probably, if it's a Looney Tunes character, it's going to be a joke.
Yeah, then you can be okay there. But
what? Looney Tunes?
Looney Tunes characters are common
the
tattoos.
The guy with the big hat with
Yosemite
the guns.
Sam.
Elmer Fudd.
Yosemite Sam and Tweety are both very popular tattoos.
Tasmanian Devil on your butt, I've heard about.
On your what?
On your butt.
Why would you do that?
Because you can easily cover it up when you're at work.
Yeah.
That's for most people.
A lot of tattoos, intimate tattoos, are a good one because then you don't have to show them to other people unless you really want to.
Which a little defeats the purpose of them.
No, wait. Did you say the Tasmanian devil?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you put it on your butt.
So it's down under.
So therefore, the only people who see it are people who you have an intimate relationship. And this is what you want this person to see.
Yes,
the Tasmanian
apparently.
Devil.
Well, or people that you've drunk enough with at a party that you show your butt.
Because it shows off your hidden fun side.
Exactly.
And it is hidden.
You're wild, you know.
And fun.
See, listeners, what you couldn't see there was just a look of horror on William's face.
You're not making this up.
No. A cartoon character of some sort on your butt is a tattoo I have heard of often.
On your butt.
Well, it's you know, kind of a nice canvas.
But it can contract and expand, mostly expand.
There are certain parts of your body that tend not to change.
That's true.
And I always thought, like, you know, you should go for one of those. And they're not the common ones. Like, upper arm is bad. Mm-hmm. Butt is bad.
Okay, well, you know.
I think under
your
arm,
want
right?
someplace that's not exposed to a lot of sun, because that can be a problem.
Yeah, because I can wear it out.
Is it a personal question for me to ask if anyone here has a tattoo? It probably is.
I think most of us have said already, but I don't.
No. So
my boss has one. Or at least one. I think she might have one more.
Now, here's
but
the
they're
thing.
All, I think, fairly small and not anything that she ever shows at work.
I do appreciate, when there's a culture that has as part of their initiations and as part of whatever they have, something about that I think is pretty cool. I don't know why.
So
I think
that shit going on Seal's face, you're cool with?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Seal, the singer, has tribal scarring on his face.
Okay.
Similar to what it looked like in The Hangover? Which I have not seen.
No, that's Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
And that was an actual
tattoo. I have seen.
And that's just crazy.
I've seen ads for The Hangover. I know what that looks like in a ballpark.
For people to have, for this to be part of their culture and they do it, somehow that seems completely different to me. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's.
Because there's a reason for it.
Well, and it shows a certain commitment. And, you know, as you pointed out, as the older they get, it's not going to get weird or anything.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But are you when you say culture, are you talking about, like, geographical, indigenous, like, old culture? Or do you motorcycle groups or something like that?
Well,
yeah, see,
that's culture, a good point. Yeah. And actually, yes, and even in situations like that, like motorcycle, like, even... motorcycle gangs or even gangs. Sometimes I'm pretty fascinated by the things that gangs do when it comes to ink because I see that as completely different.
Well, but that is their body modification is becoming something of a subculture.
Well, yeah, but you know we talked about on one podcast where I'm observing that a lot of people are having body issues for a lot of different things and they're changing. But as far as Craig, the next tattoo you should get, well, I think the answer is obvious. He should get our name somewhere on his
absolutely.
And the magical talking hat.
The magical talking hat with your name on the
there we go.
On the brand
just really take the banner brand page from the blog.
Yeah.
And
do that.
Do it like around the arm.
Yeah. What else would you do?
Or on your chest, right? William tries to remember something and then gives up. Awesome.
So there you go, Craig. So, yeah. I mean, you asked us, and we told you.
Lots of ideas there. All right.
Well, there's only one good
idea. All right.
Let's face it.
We got to be out of here in 13 minutes. You think we can do it?
One more.
All
right. We can do it.
We'll let the producer draw one here. We got to save these, by the way, because I have to write them up eventually.
They're right here. They're right here.
Yes.
Oh, it's another Kia B.
Oh, Kia, very popular.
Oh, this may not be a 13-minute question. Uh-oh. Dear the Magical Talking Hat, what is the best trading card game?
Ooh.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You've never played any?
No, I don't play trading card games. Never have.
I've played, in terms of collectible card games, I've only ever played two. I played Magic the Gathering for quite some time, and I played Vampire back when it was called Jihad. Which was the original name of that trading game, and then politically they decided that was a bad call, so they re-released it as Vampire. And both of them are pretty annoying now.
You don't have an opinion about what's the best? The best! You know what, I do have an opinion about what the best is.
Okay.
Pokemon? You know why I say that?
Because that's the only one you know of?
No. Because...
You want to collect them all?
No. I happen to know that it is probably the single most popular of any game. It appealed to kids. Yeah. And somehow, and I don't know how this is because I would never got into Pokemon, but I've noticed that somehow it also appeals to some, at least young adults.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have a game that's got that much appeal, you know, and somehow can capture the imagination of so many people, I would say that it deserves... consideration, at least, for the best.
I think it employs a lot of psychological tactics that make it very popular.
It was very cute. Last summer, Tony and I went to his boss's son graduated. And how old is he? 16?
Yeah, he's now 16, I believe.
Okay.
He graduated early. And it was going to a specific thing at the university where you're starting college, but it's all the young guys and they live in the same dorm and stuff like that.
So we're at his graduation party and there were other coworkers that one of Tony's coworkers had brought his younger daughter, who's probably like 8, 9 maybe.
Yeah.
And for some reason she was saying something about Pokemon, and so he went up and got like all his old cards.
Yeah,
and he has, you know, like this binder.
Right.
And he and his 16-year-old friends are kind of saying like, oh, you know,
When
we were babies, we used to play that. But then, like, 10 minutes later, you look over and they're all just, like,
pouring
over all these cards.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you? You ever play? Mark, you ever play?
I'm going to guess no, and I'll tell you why.
Oh.
It costs money.
Actually, when I first moved to the Corville area, I did play Magic for a short amount of time. Because... I didn't know anyone here, and I would much rather would have been playing a role-playing game, but nobody I could find was playing those at the time. But
and
there was
Venn diagram overlap.
When was this?
This would have been around 1994.
But did you go to the IMU on Fridays?
No.
Okay.
Well, where are you from originally?
That depends on how far back you want to call originally.
Originally, his mother's uterus. No, sorry. Half of him was from that area.
Which was located where? I think it's Williams. Yeah, where?
Are you talking right birthplace? Because we didn't live there very long because my dad was in the Marine Corps.
That's right.
We lived
a lot
when I was a kid.
That's right. Like your dad was in the Marine Corps.
Every 5 years.
So, but where was that there you're born? Let's start there.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha. But then you weren't there very long and then you went where?
A couple of small towns in Illinois and then we lived in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. And so then you came here from there.
Well, from Jacksonville, North Carolina to Marshalltown, Iowa.
Oh, Marshalltown.
And from Marshalltown to Webster City. Yeah.
So you were in Iowa for a little while, Bouncer. Now, your dad was a Mason, and so did he do most of that stuff here, or was here in this area, or did he do the Mason thing everywhere?
I'm pretty sure he did it everywhere. Oh, okay. He was in it when we were in North Carolina. He was in it everywhere we've been in Iowa.
Really good way to meet people.
Oh yeah,
I was too young to remember.
But they're
or at least it was.
They had a program for young people, and you were part of that too.
No,
were you in Rainbow ever?
The mini Masons. That's for girls.
Oh, okay. What's the little boys one then?
I have no idea. He tried to get me involved in the Masons, and it never really.
Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that. But so when you got here, you did the magic thing for a while. And so did you collect a lot of cards then? Or?
No, because as Tony said, it cost money.
It cost too much money.
And it just wasn't that interesting. Because I was looking for something to get me involved with local people who had that same sorts of interests. And that looked like a way that might be. And it was a crappy game as far as I could tell.
Well, it's extreme resource management. So
you don't have an opinion on the best?
Yeah, they're all crap. So.
Oh, they're all crap. What about you, Ben?
I think that probably the most widespread, I don't know if it officially counts as a game, but traditional trading cards like baseball cards and sports cards, which while not as nerdy, so to speak, as our general listening audience probably is, I think that was probably more widespread in terms of memorizing stats. And I have this card, can I trade you for that card?
Beth actually cares about sports.
Yeah, but they never played
a little bit.
But they never played games.
I think they invented some games.
But if you think of it in terms of I know these stats, you know those stats kind of things about it. It's not a I play this card and then this card plays on top of it kind of game. But
there was a resource management aspect to the trading and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
This card's rare. I'll trade you four cards for this one card.
Well, and
there are different types of just trading cards. There are like. You roll not just the game kind, but there are fantasy art cards.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. I collected some of those back in the day.
There were Star Wars cards.
And while there are lots of smaller factions, I'm clearly arguing that I think baseball cards are
the most
widespread and have most infiltrated mainstream society. Probably not as much with kids anymore, but...
Are you a baseball fan?
No. Can't stand baseball. Sorry.
I should check with my brother. His kids might be into those because they do all sorts of sports and stuff.
My dad had a lot of cards, some really rare ones, but now he doesn't know where they went.
Her father collects hockey ones.
He thinks we lost them, which we
probably did. He probably did. You were ungrateful children.
We probably did.
What about you, Trish?
I'm with Mark. I played Magic the Gathering when I lived in Missouri. And then I came here, and I did go to the IMU on Friday because I moved here around the same time, and I didn't know people. And I thought, oh, that'd be a good way to know people. But everybody there was like really crazy into it, and I just kind of wanted to play, and so it didn't really work out. But kind of by definition, trading card games are designed to make you want to buy crap. And as an adult and trying not to be quite so consumerish, that seems really just like... I mean, it's great for them, but not for any of the rest of us particularly.
Well, the funny thing, we both have our cards still.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we were cleaning up stuff for the garage sale, I found we have, like, boxes and boxes of Magic cards. And
we pulled them out once a few years ago and played for, like, an afternoon. We're like, this is fun. And then 3 hours in, we're like, oh, yeah.
That's why we don't do this anymore.
Really
we keep thinking we're
going
to sell them, but...
Never really got into it.
I got lucky with the vampire one. Friends were doing it, and the girl I was dating at the time didn't play it anymore, but she had bought some cards, and so she lent them to me, and I got into it. I thought it was cool, and I went home for Christmas vacation and started playing with all my high school friends, and they got into it, and they bought the cards, and we're playing, and by the time I came back the next time, I was over it, and they had spent all their money. So I managed to get in and out of that fad without spending a cent. But I suckered all of them into it.
Well, we had a youngster in our house who was into Pokemon, and he had a friend whose parents were Russian, and he was into it too, and he would often call the house, and can Biddy come over, and can he bring the game controllers and the Pokemon cards, you know, a little accent he had. And after a while, Billy was just obsessed with these cards, and he had a big binder full, and taking them over there and trading them with this kid. And, sometimes he would come home late from school, and that's what he was doing. He was trading cards. And we finally realized that Pokemon was just code for meth. And that he was saying it was Pokemon, yes. But it was really...
Bring over the controllers.
Yeah, and the Pokemon exactly.
Yeah.
So, but...
Mix a little Charizard with a little Squirtle. Right.
And we had...
So you're just right, or it'll explode.
So we had to put it into it.
Yeah. No.
You know, you can't let that keep going.
No.
But that was our...
To answer your question, nothing. I do like the card games that are self-contained, and I guess they're not trading card at that point, but like Race for the Galaxy and stuff like that, where there's a bunch of cards, and I like the deck building, some things like that, but I like them when you just buy it, and you've got it, and it's a cool game. Race for the Galaxy is a good one for that. What are some other cards? Dominion, of course.
Yeah.
And Dominion kind of does it because they keep coming out with these expansions and we buy them, but you're still not ordering like booster packs and crap like that. So those are fun. I like card games.
And then the one that is kind of interesting that's not like that at all is we play Seven Wonders. And in that, you have a hand of cards and you choose which one you want to play, but then you pass it to the other people. So you can't ever count on anything or plan on anything.
And you know what you're sending, and you're like, do I want to play the one I like best, or do I want to play the one that I know they're going to want so it'll be gone? And that's kind of fun. I like those kinds of games, but yeah, I don't like the buying and the, you know, I got, oh, now, you know, Mark's bought some new cards and now I can't compete anymore, so I'm going to have to buy more cards in order to do it.
Well, and actually that's kind of like an aspect we don't like about other games either. Well, a lot of the RPGs, when we play them on the computer or on the console, it's like, we say, and now we're going to play Inventory Management the game, because like, you got all this crap and you have to decide whether you're going to sell it or whether you're going to keep it, whether you're going to upgrade it.
Yeah.
You know?
Half of Dungeon Defenders is going through the level, and then the other half is us going to the tavern afterwards and figuring out if we got any stuff we like and selling stuff. And
a lot of games are like that. But now in Fallout New Vegas, there's a card game.
Caravan.
That relies on you collecting a certain type of deck.
It doesn't rely, but yeah, you can buy new cards that are out there. And those are all just cards from a poker deck.
Yeah.
But you can buy different ones. And that's part of the rules of that game, is you can't have the same card from the same deck. So if you have a 10 of diamonds from this casino or a 10 of diamonds from this casino, you can have both of those. But you can't have two tens of diamonds from the same casino and that kind of thing. And it has a very post-apocalyptic feel of like you scrounge up cards and then you play with them. So that's kind of fun. All right, we should wrap this up.
Wrap it up! Episode 100 wrap.
What should people 100. Do?
What are we going to call it?
I thought that it was going to be a whole bunch of itches. But then there was something else midway through that I was like, that would be a good title too, so I don't know.
I like a whole bunch of itches. That might be good.
Well, thanks to Craig and Kia B, we have to say that.
Yes, thanks. And
sorry you couldn't
get anonymous.
Kia B squared. No, they're two
Kia.
Yeah. Oh, Kia B squared. Nice, right. Nice. And thanks to Beth and
yes,
Mark for
so much for
braving
coming.
The weather
and sorry
to show
the other
and
people
for listening. Yes, and let us know, email or post on the blog or something that you're good. We just want to make sure.
Of course, it'll be like two weeks.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't know by then, we're going to be really pissed off.
Yeah, right.
If you let us know. And thank you guys for listening and making the podcast be a worthwhile thing.
Yes,
thank you for having the podcast for us to listen to.
Consistency trumps quality. There you have it. We are proof of that. You don't have to be good. You just have to keep doing it.
That's why we're still married.
Oh, wow.
Yes. On that lovely note.
How about the 7 inches and that's why we're still married?
On that note, we will talk to you guys next week. I figure we're about done, right? 100's a good number.
Yeah,
we're done doing more.
Thank you for visiting the Magical Talking Hat, episode 100. If you'd like to be a part of the next 100 episodes, please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
or check out the website at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com.